and never listen to what you tell me, cause voices like tobacco, man, just so unhealthy.
This government has failed us. Southern senators, this is the government. This is a government filibuster. It's not a segregationist filibuster. It's a government filibuster. Any kind of activity that takes place on the floor of the Congress or the Senate, that's the government. Any kind of dilly-dallying, that's the government. Any kind of pussyfooting, that's the government. Any kind of act that's designed to delay or deprive you and me right now of getting full rights,
guys, and welcome to the Al Show. I'm Al, and I'll be with you for the next couple hours. Tonight we have a guest coming in around 6:20 to 6:30 or so, somewhere around 6:30. A friend of mine named Fred Burks, who's going to be calling in, and we're going to chat a little bit about 9/11, about the upcoming election. Maybe we might touch on mind control. We might talk about all kinds of stuff. He's a very interesting cat. He knows a lot about a lot of things, and we're gonna just, you know, chop it up a little bit. And also want to let everybody know about this thing that's happening the day after the election, November 3rd. Because no matter who wins, we lose. It's like Predator, baby. No matter who wins, we lose. So, and that's the Vote Against War in the Streets, November 3rd, 4 p.m. rally at the USS Midway, one block south of Broadway on Harbor Drive. 5 p.m., we're going from there, rallying, and we're marching downtown. It'll be rip-roaring good times, let me tell ya. I'm just going to get my little act together here. And I might play some music that you may or may not like. Let's try this.
In her style, like a worn out shoe. My hair's still curly and my eyes are still blue. Why don't you love me like you used to do? Ain't had no loving like a hugging and a kissing in a long, long while. We don't get nearer, further, closer than a country mile. Why don't you spark me like you used to do? And say sweet nothings like you used to coo. I'm the same old trouble that you've always been through. So why don't you love me like you used to do? Faults with me. Somebody's changed, so let me give you a clue. Why don't you love me like you used to do? Ain't had no loving like a hugging and a kissing in a long, long while. We don't get nearer, further, closer than a country mile. Why don't you say the things you used to say? What makes you treat me like a piece of clay? My hair's still curly and my eyes are still blue. Why don't you love me like you used to do?
Out. direct TV. Am I watching it or is it watching me? Man, I don't really know. But I feel like I'm being scoped, y'all. Watch, y'all. Something ain't right. Something ain't right. And you keep saying that I'm free. 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 And you keep saying that I'm free.
Yeah, so that's Jill Scott there with Watching Me. And before that, we had Why Don't You Love Me Like You Used to Do by Hank Williams. That's who. And before that, I don't even remember what I played. If you remember, then good for you. Then you're listening. Good for you. Okay, so we are going to move on. And I just want to remind you all that we're in a few minutes we're expecting a call from my buddy Fred, and we're going to talk to him about all kinds of stuff. And your brain will be titillated, and your tits will be brainilated.
Straight up, then the man he was super tough. Okay, that was the Ovulators and with Guinea Pig. And on the phone right now, we have Fred Burks. Hi, Fred.
Hey, Al. How you doing?
Good.
All right.
And thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's great to spend some time with you and your listeners.
Yeah. So I'd like to maybe have you introduce yourself to everybody out there. You know, like, you're a guy who's got some websites out there. You work for the State Department, or you did, or something like that. So maybe just a little bit of background of who you are and what you're up to. And
sure. Well, my name's Fred Burks, and, well, I'm involved in all sorts of things. I'll start out by first saying that I've worked with the State Department as a contract interpreter in the Indonesian language since 1986. So that's about 18 years, and kind of was very lucky that in some ways I just moved up the ranks without even trying. And in 1995, for the first time, I interpreted both for Clinton and Gore at the White House with the President of Indonesia. And I haven't done that, the presidential level, a lot, but I've done it a few times. I've been there in person right next to George Bush three times interpreting, and seen some interesting things behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 3 years ago, I found out some really deep, disturbing information about things that I had no idea were going on behind the scenes, and it started me on an almost full-time investigation of what's really going on.
Uh-huh.
And about 2 years ago, when I started getting a good picture of everything going on behind the scenes that very few people know about, I decided it's time to put this all up on the web.
Yeah.
So I set up a website, which is www.wanttoknow.info.
Mm-hmm.
And this website specializes in providing reliable, verifiable information of major cover-ups that very few people are aware about.
Yeah, when you say reliable and verifiable, I've been to your site a number of times, and I was always impressed by your sourcing and your, the documents that, you know, when you make a claim and it's always highlighted there with the hyperlink to an actual, you know, news source or very reputable source. So I really appreciate that about your site. It takes
That is the specialty of our website. It's one of the reasons it's gotten quite popular.
Mm-hmm.
We've had in the year and a half we've been up now, we've had over 300,000 visits.
Wow.
So it's gotten some important people's attention too.
Mm-hmm.
And there's tons of things that I know and suspect that I don't have good sourcing on.
Uh-huh.
I won't put that on the website.
Right.
I would tell you in person and maybe even on the radio, but I can tell you that I don't have a solid source for this, but I've heard it from enough reliable people that I believe it.
Right.
But on the website, we only put things that often there's a link directly that you can go check something else out, or we'll give you the book and page number, or
right,
some government documents, how to get the documents, and then the page number in the documents to go and find the quote that we list.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So, and since then, you've been keeping very active with your email list. It's become quite a thing. I'm on your list, and it just, you send lately it's been pretty often, but, you know, you're always sending very interesting, juicy tidbits of stuff that's going on that's really awesome. And the thing about it is that I appreciate also is that you always, it's the language you use, it tries to be kind of as inoffensive as possible, you know, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
That, so, like, you're trying to approach Joe, American flag waving, we're going to vote for Bush,
exactly,
you know, guy.
Yes, this is one of the key things. We are really designed to reach out to the American public.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care whether you're Democrat or Republican, black, white, whatever background, religious, atheist you come from, we want to reach out to everyone and say, hey, there's something going on here. And if you're willing to open your eyes, we can start spreading this news and literally transform this country to become a better place.
Yeah. Well, let's get into some of the stuff that is going on that you're talking about. Like you said, you spent some time interpreting for Bush.
Mm-hmm.
What was your impression of him in the moment while you were there, and of him and his?
Well, I very much describe him as a good old boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you spend any time hanging out with the good old boys, but in my job, and even I have a couple relatives who I would consider good old boys, they're really actually warm, friendly people.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they also can have a lot of sort of suppressed anger and can be, you know, somewhat manipulative and arrogant.
Right.
And I would say George Bush fits that pretty well. First interpreted for him, which was just actually 8 days after 9/11 in the White House, I was with him for about 90 minutes, mm-hmm. and the president of Indonesia, Megawati Sukarnoputri. And at the end of it, he turned to me as we're walking out, and he shook my hand, looked me right in the eye, and said, "Hey, great job." Mm-hmm. Now, I'll tell you, a lot of people don't do that.
Right.
So I really have to give him credit that he can be good with people.
Right. And you also, you told me that he at that time was very knowledgeable about, to your surprise, knowledgeable about Indonesian history, culture, foreign policy, everything.
Well, yeah, that's a whole story.
Well, let's get into it, because okay. it has to do with another topic that I'd like to talk about with this, the miking of the at
right.
the debates.
Right.
And you said that you thought that at the time, you told me that he was either more intelligent than people gave him credit for.
Right.
Or he was miked.
Right.
And,
well, let me just give you a brief background on this, because I think it's important. On the website, I have had long-term contacts with a whole international team of researchers who are researching the deep cover-ups uh-huh. around the world. And the very cool thing is, being a part of this network, when anybody gets information, they immediately send it out to the whole network.
Right.
It's just the opposite of the government, which is trying to keep all this stuff secret, and they keep it even secret from each other.
Yep.
So here we have this powerful internet research network that sends out information. So what happened is a couple weeks ago, I got an email saying, check this out, and it gave the video coverage on, I believe it was on C-SPAN, I could be wrong, but it was on one of, it had video
right.
coverage of the first debate, mm-hmm. and it said go to minute number 23 and 40-something seconds, and listen, Bush saying under his breath, let me finish.
We have the clip.
Oh, you have it, okay.
We have it, we can play it.
All right, you want to play it real quick?
Sure, why not? Let's
all
keep
right.
it real. Here, okay, this is my test of my blossoming abilities right here. Here we go.
Right.
As the politics change, his positions change. And that's
hear
not
that?
How a commander-in-chief
yep.
acts. Let me finish. The intelligence I looked at was the same intelligence my opponent looked at.
Yep.
If I did, I'm sure.
Okay, we're here with Rick.
Okay, sorry.
When he said that let me finish comment, he still had 30 seconds to go. Nobody was trying to cut him off.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to that. And I thought, this is really bizarre, and it reminded me of what happened in the White House 8 mm-hmm. days after 9/11,
right.
which is what you were just relating a bit. I had been told ahead of time what was going to be discussed, and it was quite detailed about a number of things going on in Indonesia. And I thought, how on earth is George Bush, who of course is purported to be somewhat stupid,
right.
Going to be able to cover these things intelligently? So I went into the meeting and was quite surprised that not only did he cover all of the points, he covered them very intelligently and with no notes, no
right.
prompting and no notes. So as I told you in an earlier conversation, I had to conclude at the time that either we were all being duped and that this guy was much more intelligent than anybody thought, or somehow somebody must have been feeding something through an earpiece to him to give this information, because there's no way, if he wasn't very intelligent, that he couldn't have done that.
Right.
So at the time, I really didn't know. But then having worked with him a couple other times and talked with a number of other people who've worked directly with him, conclude that, you know, he has some intelligence, but he is not, certainly not at the level that if there's any way I could imagine him being able to cover what he did
right.
during that meeting.
Plus, I mean, if a hidden microphone is standard operating procedure with Bush,
mm-hmm.
it would explain to me some of his Bushisms, because it's very hard to speak clearly when someone speaks, you know, telling you what to say in your ear. You know, it's just like, you know.
Well, I can tell you something about this that a lot of people don't know. As an interpreter, I do simultaneous interpreting.
Uh-huh.
What happens with simultaneous is, as somebody is speaking, I'm speaking right after them.
Right.
And you get, you know, if you've done this for a while, you get really good at it. And even when somebody's talking pretty fast, I can usually still stay just a second or two behind
huh.
them.
Interesting.
And so this is a whole skill that you develop.
I see.
And I'm fairly certain that Bush and maybe other people in the government, who knows, maybe even Kerry and a bunch of people, mm-hmm. are trained to do this.
Right.
It's easy to do in the same language. Mm-hmm. Like if you were to start speaking a sentence, I could just repeat the sentence right behind you, just
right.
a second or two lag, mm-hmm. and you can get really good and fluent at this technique in relatively little time, mm-hmm. if you're not interpreting to another language. So it's a skill that easily somebody can pick up, and as you're mentioning, you make mistakes and occasionally might stumble over your words.
Right. That, so, I mean, it does look pretty damning. The video evidence of that debate looks pretty... It looks pretty, and then the audio too. I mean, it's not just there's a lump on his back, but then that little clip there where he says let me finish.
Right.
He maybe he's having a psychotic event and there was a bulge in his jacket. I mean,
or somebody said maybe he's just a robot. He's not even really human.
Right. Yeah. To shift over maybe a little bit. You talk a lot on your website about the different cover-ups and stuff, and mm-hmm. and what when you say cover-up, like in regards to 9/11, what exactly is being covered up? I mean, what?
Okay, well, the thing that you find is that there is a major, major cover-up of 9/11 going on.
Mm-hmm.
The way to find this, I'll tell you the way I found out. There is this incredible thing called the 9/11 timeline by a researcher with the name of Paul Thompson.
Uh-huh.
He's been working on this
fantastic.
Thing for 2 years. He's got hundreds and hundreds of pages. And what he does is he gets the mass media from around the world and research that they have done around 9/11, compiled it all in one website.
Yeah.
And what you find is that there's all these amazing facts that nobody else is talking about.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of them are just amazing. Some of them are pretty straightforward. Like, here's one from the Washington Post, September 23rd, 2001. So this is less than 2 weeks after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
The Washington Post, and here's the quote. Federal authorities were aware for years before 9/11 that suspected terrorists with ties to Osama bin Laden were receiving flight training at schools in the U.S. and abroad. One convicted terrorist confessed that his plane role in a terror attack was to crash a plane into CIA headquarters.
Wow.
So here's, you know, the Washington Post saying that they knew for years that this was a possibility. And yet, if you'll remember, and this is another quote from the New York Times, yet after 9/11, over and over, the White House and security officials say they're shocked that terrorists hijacked airliners
right.
and crashed them into landmark buildings.
It's one of Dr. Rice's biggest lies, that we had no idea planes
right.
would...
Well, and then there's the really bizarre ones, which you don't hear anybody, even in the alternative news, talking about. Here's something that was reported in Newsweek, Washington Post, and New York Times. Several of the 9/11 hijackers, including lead hijacker Mohammed Atta, may have had training at secure U.S. military installations.
Yep. Yep.
And if you go in and read these articles, like the Newsweek article gives you details. Here's this hijacker who was living in Florida, right?
We weren't repaying his rent, too? I mean,
yeah. I mean, it's like his driver's license had the address of the military base on it, and yet this is the same hijacker who supposedly was pulling off 9/11.
Right. And aren't some of these supposed suicide hijackers claiming to be alive now and saying...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I forget how many. Something like seven are well known to be alive.
Right.
If you just spend any time, you can find that out. And yet they're still listed officially in the 9/11 report as, you know, dead and part of the hijack team.
Right.
Now, in all fairness, I do want to mention that several of these papers, like the New York Times and Post, the next day came out and saying the CIA has informed, or I'm sorry, the military has informed us that this is absolutely not true.
Oh, okay.
Yet they give no evidence at all
mm-hmm.
about why. They acknowledge that the names were the same as some people training at the institutes. So
right.
they do acknowledge that, but then they're saying, no, these were different people.
One of my favorite articles that's at the, you can only, I've only found it at the memoryhole.org or whatever, mm-hmm. where it says that the AP or something like that, the CIA was running a drill about planes running into buildings that day. So if
oh yes, yeah, that's great. Now let me just mention to the listeners, if anybody is sitting by a computer, as some people do while they're listening, if you go to www.wanttoknow.info, on the home page there, you'll see there's a link for 9/11 two-page summary,
mm-hmm.
and if you click on that link, Let's go right to the one that you talked about now. That one is on September 11th, 2001. I have four that are September 11th. Mm-hmm. Hours after the attacks. Oh, I'm sorry. Nope, wrong one. Here we go. It's the second one on September 11th. Described as a bizarre coincidence, a U.S. intelligence agency was all set for an exercise on September 11th at 9 a.m., in which an aircraft would crash into one of its buildings near Washington, D.C. And this is reported by Associated Press in the Boston Globe and other newspapers.
Right.
So what the heck was a U.S. intelligence agency, which no one's ever heard of? It's a little agency called National Reconnaissance Agency, which has a budget bigger than the CIA and FBI.
Mm-hmm.
But it supposedly manages spy satellites. But these guys were planning a drill at the same time the Pentagon was to be hit. So what a strange coincidence that, oh, we don't have to do the drill. We can just go do the real thing right over there at the Pentagon.
For me, one of the most important evidence in the stinkiness of that day is the other building that came down, World Trade Center number 7.
Yes.
And I don't know. I don't remember what the official reason. Something like a kerosene tank blew or something like that.
Well, it's important to understand that the official report of... Oh, what's the organization? Was it FEMA? I don't remember.
Probably
whoever did
FEMA,
the official report said there was they could not come up with a good reason. Now, what the papers came out and said was that the diesel tank in the special bunker that had been built in that room exploded, and that caused it.
Right.
But all you have to do is look at the video, and that video is easily available.
Right.
And see, there's no way. The building just falls absolutely uniformly down, just like a pancake.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way a tank blowing up in the middle of the building, I believe it's the 27th floor, would cause it to pancake like that.
Yeah. That for me is the smoking gun. I mean, that's I just go, well, it's look. I mean, how do you explain that? I mean, it doesn't.
Yes, in fact, I think you're absolutely right. To me, that is the single most solid smoking gun.
Yeah.
Because that is video footage that anyone can get from any of the major stations, and you watch it and you look beforehand. There are some small fires on only two floors.
Yeah.
You do not see any explosion. If it was true that there was this big tank, you would have seen some sort of explosion and seen some flash. And you see the whole thing just fall absolutely uniformly.
Yeah.
And this is, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, so that's like 7 hours after the whole events of the morning.
Right.
And it was not even damaged severely at all. It was something like 100 yards away from the two towers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I agree with you that is the biggest smoking gun. I wish somebody had just like one website that really focused and did a good job on that, because I would
I think there is. I'm pretty sure there is.
I know there's a number of websites that devote some real time to that. But I am very much into everything you say. You've got to have some sort of source.
Right.
And not too many other websites are careful on that stuff.
So recently, a famous 9/11 researcher Michael Rupert came out and fingered Cheney as the mastermind behind it all, and but that I haven't really read his book, and there was a Commonwealth Club thing that I'm trying to find an audio thing for that to play it here, but what do you think? Who do you think? I mean, what was the? How did it really go down? If these supposed suicide hijackers are still alive, and I mean, what happened? I mean, what really happened? I mean,
well, I'll tell you. I think that the most important thing that I tell people who are seriously interested is it's much more complex than anyone would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And to say that just Dick Cheney is behind it all, I think that's really simplifying it.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Mike Rupert is a good researcher. His new book, Crossing the Rubicon, I'm reading good reviews about it. I have it sitting here, but I haven't started through it yet. It is very well sourced. He really does his footnotes well and has exactly where to go and find the information. So that's great. But now, Mike Rupert does tend, in my opinion, to be a little bit simplistic. To me, if you want to understand all of these weird things going on, actually mind control is one of the key pieces. Because, you know, if many of the readers might be aware that our CIA was pouring a lot of money into mind control programs back from the early 50s.
Yeah.
And they were learning literally how to create what we call super spies. And what a super spy is somebody who's a spy and doesn't even know, isn't even consciously aware that they're a spy.
So they're unconscious, of their spying activities that they're doing? How could they be unconscious of that? I mean,
The way it works is most people have heard of multiple personality disorder, mm-hmm. which these days has a new name, dissociative identity disorder. Okay. But let's call it MPD, multiple personality disorder, because that's what most people know. When people have multiple personality disorder, the core personality, the one that you see out on the street every day, is not aware of the other alters. They're called alter personalities. And usually only when a person becomes aware do they start getting treatment and start realizing that they have problems. And almost always somebody who has MPD has multiple alters. So what the CIA was doing with these mind control experiments was they actually learned how to create multiple personality disorder in people. And they developed sophisticated techniques, and I even know some of the techniques and exactly how they did it, where they could program different alters of a person's personality to do different things. Mm. Yet because it's using multiple personality disorder, the core personality had no idea what these alters were doing when they were kicked in.
Huh.
So they would actually use code words. The way the CIA developed these programs is, let's say, you would say something like, blue moon on September 35th. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a word that nobody's going to just come up with out of blue. Blue moon on September 35th.
Right, that phrase. Right.
That phrase then kicks them into, let's say, their alter personality B, which might be the one that is an expert at demolitions or
right.
blowing things up. And then when it's kicked into that personality, even over the phone, they can give them instructions of what they're going to do, what time they're going to do, exactly what time they're going to finish, and that as soon as they finish, that will be a key for them to kick back into their normal personality.
Huh.
Now, even in a court of law, they could testify under a lie detector and everything and would not know that they had just blown something up.
Right.
Wow. So if you understand this piece, then you can think, well, wait a minute. What if they have these kind of people in Al-Qaeda that are actually CIA operatives
uh-huh.
who don't even know that they're CIA operatives?
Right, right. Well, that makes some sense about, huh.
Now, let me explain, too, because this is important. A lot of people find this very difficult to believe.
Okay.
If you go to the website, wanttoknow.info, and click on the mind control summaries, you will see this is very well documented. We tell you exactly how to order 20,000 pages worth of CIA mind control documents.
Wow.
It's on 3 CDs. It costs $30. You can order it from the government. You'll see I got my packet with the return address from the CIA. It's quite a bizarre thing. 3 CDs and 20,000 pages worth of mind control stuff. Now, on our summaries, we have a 2-page and 10-page summary. We tell you exactly which document and exactly which page number each quote is taken from.
Uh-huh.
And you'll see that these documents absolutely support what I'm telling you about the creation of multiple personality disorder.
Yeah, I'm a little bit aware. I've read a book called Mass Control by Jim Keith, and it's shocking some of these reading some of these, you know, taxpayer funded and probably black budget funded operations that they were doing, as you know, as far back as the 50s and
exactly.
MK Ultra and giving unsuspecting citizens LSD and different kinds of, and that's just kind of scratching the surface.
Oh yeah, and there's so much more. As I said, it's so much more complex than anybody would ever imagine.
Right, and it seems to me that this kind of sophistication, like the Manchurian Candidate
yes.
movie, it's not so fantastic. It's not really that all that fictional.
No, in fact, when I watched that movie, I went, "Whoa, somebody knows what's going on,"
mm-hmm.
because they were doing some very real life stuff in that movie, even though it was made into fiction.
Right.
Yeah. So I'll just give you an example here.
Okay.
Here's a quote from one of the documents. An attempt will be made to induce a number. Oh, I'm sorry. Here, the experimenters will be particularly interested in dissociative states, which, as I mentioned, is multiple personality.
Uh-huh.
An attempt will be made to induce a number of states of this kind, and that's just one clear statement right there. And that is from CIA document number 17398 on page 18.
Huh.
And you can go, as I said, you can order these documents. Also, they're available free on the web. And if you go to our website, we give you the link. It'll say click here for the CIA documents if
oh,
you
wow.
want the free link.
Oh, yeah.
And you can go to the Black Vault, which is an amazing website.
Huh.
They store all sorts of huge cover-up and conspiracy documents.
Huh.
A great resource. So anyway, we have a direct link to their stored copies of all the CIA documents, so you don't have to pay the $30 if you trust that they actually exist in the Black Vault. Actually,
see, for me, where I was coming from, I know that they were doing the mind control and stuff, and I wasn't really sure why, because it seems like our propaganda machine is so heavy. But
right.
now I'm starting to see through talking to you that the propaganda, that's just for the masses. You know, that's just for us to go along with their multiple wars and their stupid, you know, whatever, everything that's obviously stupid, like the Patriot Act. But
right.
you know, if you're a true believer and if you believe that, you know, if you believe what you see on the TV, it's a good thing, you know.
Yep.
But these I could never figure out. Well, what's the point? I mean, of all these experiments in mind control, if your propaganda machine is so tight already.
Right. Well, see that. Yeah, the propaganda is meant to be a diversionary tactic
uh-huh.
for the people who do want to research. There's a lot of disinformation put out there to consciously mislead people.
Oh, speaking of which, I got to get this off on the table. Recently, you were featured in a webpage by Dan Hopsicker.
Right. He's a good researcher.
He's a very good researcher. I read his book. Well, I didn't finish it, but I read most of his book on Barry Seal, which mm-hmm. is very interesting. And he sort of suggests that you might be a disinformation stooge from the
right.
State Department or something like that. So let's get it clear.
Sure.
Are you a mole?
Well, let's see. This is interesting. And when I found that out, a friend emailed me and said, look, he wrote a whole like two pages worth on me and thinking that I was this mole. And I actually emailed him and said, you know, you could have just asked me and I'd be happy to share some stuff. So we had a great email exchange.
Oh, yeah.
And he actually feels pretty good about me now and even wrote a little something about that.
Oh, we did. I didn't read
yeah.
that update.
But yeah. now let me tell you, because of this super spy thing, I have had to ask myself, what if I'm a super spy?
Right.
It could be. I would not even know. And so I've literally gone back and said, wow, is this possible? And I'm not saying it's impossible.
Right.
I do think it's a very low probability. I think it's less than a 2% chance that I'm a super spy. But the possibility is there. And who knows if I'm being manipulated in some way.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is, I have such a deep commitment in my life to what's best for all.
Mm-hmm.
This is really my guiding force in my life and has been for a long time, that I also have a spiritual path where I open to divine guidance and just ask for guidance in what's best for all people and all beings. So I trust that I'm being led in that direction, even if I am a super spy, which I don't think I am.
Right. Well, that's good. I'm glad for that. You know, that's
right. Now, I have met some people that I really suspect strongly. A lot of super spies come from families where there's a generational history of sexual abuse.
Right.
They tend to make the best super spies because they've learned to dissociate when they were being sexually abused when they're children. And so there's certain people that sort of fit the profile,
mm-hmm.
but not everyone comes from that kind of background. And I did not come from that kind of background.
Okay. What do you think of John Kerry?
You know, he's better than Bush, in my opinion. And, you know, he's skull and bones, as you know very well, just as Bush is. You know, they're brothers of the same society where they're sworn to loyalty to their co-clan members above all else.
Right.
So what does that tell you right there?
It tells me that he's more loyal to Bush than he is to us.
Right. Now, he is great on the environment, and he certainly will be way better than Bush on the environment. But he's part – what I tell people is there's only one party in this country, and it's called the War Party.
Yep.
The party that supports war all over the world
yep.
and divisiveness to feed the military-industrial complex. And there's the right and left wing, which is the Republicans and Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
So Kerry is from the left wing of the War Party.
Right.
Yeah.
It's and so for me, I keep feeling like 9/11 wasn't the catastrophic event. It was sort of a triggering mechanism.
Well, it was a very key event.
It was
planned.
Oh yeah, definitely. But it feels like it was very important. But it feels like that was the you know, it's like when you shoot a gun, that's the hammer hitting the bullet. It's not
right,
the bullet.
It's a spark to get the fire going.
Yeah, it's not
right.
the where it's really, so for me, it seems like in the next,
I don't know, a few years, mm-hmm. there's going to be some kind of end game or some kind of thing where all this covert stuff, it's a lot of energy to keep all these covert operations covert.
Well, let me tell you one thing that's very exciting about this. Mm-hmm. People are always amazed because I know an incredible amount of deep, dark stuff that is really disturbing, and yet I'm very optimistic.
Right.
I really am very optimistic that things in the long run will work out. Now, here's some examples of why. What happened, basically, is I honestly believe that there were many people involved in making 9/11 happen in our government at high levels and in different levels. Now, many of those people, in fact, the vast majority of them had no idea that they were helping to pull off a stunt that would end up killing, bringing down the World Trade Centers and killing over 3,000 Americans.
Right.
So the way that you have to understand how our intelligence services work. Everybody hides information from each other.
Right.
Because the more information you can hold on to yourself, the more power you have over others. So even people working on the same project will often not share information they have, and they're not even supposed to.
Right.
They operate under what's called a need-to-know doctrine.
Right.
You only share information with somebody if they have a need to know. So how does that relate to this now? Because imagine that you had, I don't know how many, but let's say somewhere between 10 and 20,000 people working on different elements of making 9/11 happen. But over 90% of those people had no idea that this was going to result in the fall of the World Trade Center and the death of 3,000 Americans. So what do you think happened once those towers went down and they realized that they played a role in it?
They're feeling crappy about themselves.
They're feeling like, oh, my God, what is going on?
Uh-huh.
And suddenly they realize, I was actually involved in this. I did this little piece that I know played a role in this.
Uh-huh.
Now, those people had a choice to make at that point. One is you realize, this is way out of my control. I'm just going to do what I'm told and just be in with the guys, with the winners.
Right.
And the other is to say, this is just wrong.
Right.
I am going to do my best. Now, I can't come out and say it's wrong because I know they're going to get me. They know how that works.
Right.
But they're working subtly behind the scenes to throw all sorts of wrenches in and finding out who's on their sides. So there's a large number of people who after 9/11 got totally pissed and are working to turn this whole thing around. And you will never hear about them, but these are the heroes who are keeping another 9/11 from happening. And also who are doing all sorts of things to expose the craziness that is going on.
Huh. From the outside looking in, I don't see it too much. It seems like business as usual. You know, it's like I'd like to believe you when you say that. Mm-hmm. But for me, that's of all the things you said to me so far tonight, that's the hardest thing for me to believe.
Well, I can show you emails that I've received from some of these people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's good. I mean, I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad because it feels like... See, it seems like as longer you're in that that kind of federal or whatever this system that runs stuff up there, mm-hmm. the longer you're in there, it seems like the less conscience you have, the less compassion you have. They suck it out of you somehow, and then you become
somewhat brainwashed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that's very true, and you never lose your humanity.
Right.
So this, to me, is the key. We have a tendency to want to see things in black and white, to mm-hmm. say people are evil or they're good.
Right.
And the truth is that even the most evil person still has a heart.
Right.
You know, and in that heart, there's a place that wants to just love and be loved,
right.
no matter how hidden it is.
Right.
Now, when something major like 9/11 happens, it really shakes people up. Because if you were not expecting that, even if you were involved in these clandestine secret things, it was a shock. And that actually cracks open a person emotionally, and it gives them some access to deeper parts of themselves. So even though some of these people may be deep ingrained and brainwashed, something as severe as 9/11 can shake people up.
That's good. I mean, that's the way... I mean, for me, that's my... I know this is also... You share this with me, is that when I see another injustice, when I see another war starting, and when I learn about all these crimes that these people commit,
mm-hmm.
I go through my process of being angry and feeling powerless and feeling victimized somehow, but then I also just have to really just I summon everything a part of myself and I just focus on my heart mm-hmm. and I try to connect to them on a heart level and offer forgiveness and love to them for being so hurt, damage themselves,
right,
that they would want to go and do that to another of our brothers and sisters. I mean, just,
sure, that's,
you know,
that's very cool.
And it's, but it takes, that's just,
oh,
that's,
it's not
the,
easy.
It's the, it's the heaviest meditation there is. I mean,
absolutely,
you know, just like, it's just so hard because,
well, they just, let me tell you what I feel is the most important document on our website. If you go to the website, again, it's wanttoknow.info.
Uh-huh.
At the bottom of every page, there's a link to something called Building a Brighter Future.
Uh-huh.
And this talks about just some of the stuff you're talking about. What this, in 2 pages, what this does, it's 2 pages worth of text. First, it lays out the current situation. And I can just give you a quick summary. I've got it right here. It basically, there is this small group of powerful elites who want to control as much of the world as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how they do this, though, is not what you might think. It's what they know is that by causing people to forget what their purpose is in life, and by advocating secrecy and promoting fear and victimization, that is how you gain control over the population. So if you look at the amount of fear that has been pushed out into the world, just think that. When you're in fear, do you think as rationally as when you're not in fear?
No.
Okay, so that is one of their main keys, is we keep people in fear. And so this document, Building a Brighter Future, lays some of this out for you. It tells how the power elite works to basically control people and get the world more and more under their control. But then not only that, the second part is titled Towards a Brighter Future, how we can step out of all of that craziness.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, like it gives several recommendations. One of them is to develop and live your life purpose and your life intentions. So I feel it's vitally important for everyone to try to get in touch. Well, what is my deeper intention in my life? What is my purpose?
Uh-huh.
And it's not an easy thing to figure out.
No, I've been working on that for about 35 years now. Still,
and we actually have a link in that little description that talks more about how you might work on that.
Uh-huh.
But that's one key. Another is to work towards openness and transparency, to get out of the whole secrecy game.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other is to realize when you're in the role of the victim.
Right.
Whenever you're blaming somebody else, saying, oh, you screwed me over,
right,
in a way you're playing the role of the victim.
Right.
They did that to you, and you're the helpless one.
Right.
Whereas if you say, oh, this happened, and here's what I'm going to do about it, that's a totally different role than saying, you did this, and
right,
therefore you're bad. So it's just what you're talking about. Yes, the power elite are doing some things that are very bad, and we need to stop that negative behavior. But by sitting there blaming them, we're just disempowering ourselves. And that's what they want. They want to polarize us so everybody is either for or against us.
Right.
And we can step right out of that, as you say, by realizing that they're just basically screwed up human beings who had their own childhood and their own brainwashing that caused them to do the stuff they're going to do.
Right.
Instead of fighting against them, we just work with each other to create a new paradigm,
right,
a new way of living. And to me, that's the way out of this whole thing.
So what I mean, as you envision the future, like with this future that we could all enjoy, what do you see? I mean, what kind of social, political structures do you envision? I mean, I'm kind of interested in that myself. You know, I've been experimenting with that kind of truth, the social structures and things like that in my life. And
well, if you go out there and explore, you'll find out there's all sorts of things happening already. There's all sorts of alternative communities developing, from your sort of traditional old hippie commune, which isn't that popular these days, to things called co-housing,
mm-hmm,
which are new forms of living where it's based on a small community with no cars in the community, where people actually get to know each other well and they share dinner every night.
Mm-hmm.
And most people haven't even heard of this, and yet they're spreading like mushrooms. They started in Denmark back in, I believe, the early 70s, finally hit the U.S. in the 80s, and now you're finding co-housing communities around the country.
Cool.
And these are much more community-centered.
Right.
And to me, the change has to happen at the community level.
Yeah.
When there's a community consciousness that develops that we're all human, then we'll start really electing people who represent that.
Right.
And that's what's going to shift the whole power structure. It's not going to be top down.
Do you see the this 9/11 cover-up being blown open pretty soon?
You know, it's happening more every day. As I was telling you just before we got on, Eminem just came out with a video which is already number one on MTV that says Bush knew. And I mean, when Eminem is coming out there and on this video talking about how Bush knew
so
and showing
awesome.
Cheney behind Bin Laden and all sorts of things.
Really?
You know the news. Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm sure it shows this picture of Bin Laden, the one that you've all seen.
Uh-huh.
And at first, it's just Bin Laden there. But then the sort of the background behind him falls away, and you see Cheney and Bush, and it's Cheney with this big smile right there next to Bin Laden. That's part of the video.
That's awesome.
If you go to the MTV website, which I believe is mtv.com.
Yeah, probably.
It's right there under, it says Best 5. If you hit Best 5 and click on videos, number one, Eminem, and you can actually watch the video.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
And also, for instance, it's the Boulder Weekly, which certainly is no big newspaper, but it's the Boulder Weekly, which has a name and a readership on page one, had a whole expose on what's really going on 9/11 just
really?
Last week. Yep. All sorts of stuff is coming out. There was a great article in the Post recently talking about how they were withholding all of this information on 9/11 that the CIA had compiled.
Oh, that thing. That, I'd like to know a little bit more information about that, because I have been too busy to do much research this week.
Right.
And I know that that's come out, because I try to just keep up with just headlines.
Been released, but yes, it's
but
been released.
Yeah, because Goss is trying to sit on this thing until the election's over, because why?
I mean, names.
It names names, does it?
Yes, well, it actually names names.
Well, for me, it seems like the CIA's pissed at the Pentagon, because the Pentagon's running crap right now with Rumsfeld and their whole Iraqi debacle that they've got.
Right.
And it seems to me like the CIA, like the troops at least, want to like make a change or pro-carry or something like that.
That's no, it's not that they're pro-carry. The troops are pissed at Bush. You got to understand, it's the Bush cabal, the neocons, have pissed off a lot of people. They pissed off key people in the military, and they've really pissed off the CIA. Now, this is not Goss and the people right at the top who are directly appointed by the neocons.
Right.
It's more your rank-and-file CIA people. They really blew it when they exposed the identity of a CIA agent.
Oh, Valerie
this
Flame?
This is a felony.
Right.
According to American law, it's a felony to reveal the identity of a CIA agent. Yet it's very clear, and there's no doubt among the intelligence community, that the Bush cabal, the neocons, revealed the identity of the CIA agent, ruined her career and her husband's.
Yep.
And that was the first thing that started pissing them off. And this is like a year ago.
Yeah.
Or almost a year ago. But then they did a number of other things, trying to pin blame on the CIA for stuff that they didn't do, so that the rank and file in, and even some of the upper levels of management in the CIA are really pissed, to the point where one of England's top newspapers came out with a title, said something like, CIA has turned on Bush.
Wow.
That was one of the top three newspapers. I think it was The Independent. It was just like 2 weeks ago that article came out.
Huh.
So you're seeing all sorts of things. I'm telling you, it's breaking out now. One of the ways I look at it is how many people are coming to wanttoknow.info through the search engines. There's statistics that I get every week. That number, it used to be only like maybe 100 a day were coming in through the search engines. It's now up over 300 a day.
Wow.
Are coming in and finding the website. They're wanting to know what's going on. So those numbers are growing, and I think you're just going to see it grow. And at some point, it's going to explode, and the press is really going to have to be forced to cover it. We're going to hit critical mass.
I hope so. I mean, I have this. I have a couple bumper stickers on my car. One says Bush knew, and and a coworker. I was getting in my car from after work, and a coworker comes. Oh, I was wondering whose car that was. What did Bush know? and I said, okay. So, well, I said, and I don't even believe this, to be honest, because I think Bush was kept in the dark.
I think you're right that Bush had limited
knowledge. Think he knew very, very little. And
right, they knew they needed to keep him in the dark.
Right. But anyway, I say, well, that Bush knew 9/11 was going to happen, and he let it happen, basically, which I don't believe in the let it happen on purpose. I think it was made to happen. Anyway, but he was just, like, incredulous and says, I can't believe that an American president would let 3,000 Americans die on purpose.
Oh, I have a great example on that one.
And I was like, you just let 1,000 Americans die in Iraq.
Right.
But he was like, oh, yeah, to save thousands more, you know. And I was like, okay, okay. But it just, you know, it's just like, that's a hard thing for people to grasp is that you can't trust these guys. I mean, that they are killers. And that they don't, the human life doesn't mean much to them. And
well, it's because people have no idea of the power of our intelligence services.
Yeah.
There's an important piece here. If you talked to me 4 years ago, I would have argued adamantly against the theory that there's a small group that has a lot of power and control in the world. I really did not believe in conspiracy theories at all just 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And the reason being, because having worked at the top levels of governments, I said it's way too inefficient.
Right.
There's no way these people could pull something like this off.
That's what my neighbor who works, he's a ranger for the state parks. And he's like, ah, I'm a government worker. It couldn't happen that way.
Right. Now, of course, I got some information that showed me that I was wrong, but let me tell you how I figured out, because it's true. The government is incredibly inefficient and bungles stuff all the time.
Right.
But here's the key. Our military and our intelligence services are run like armies. Mm-hmm. You have a very clearly formed hierarchy where the person above you orders you what to do. You don't say no, you don't say maybe, you go and do it.
Right.
So the military and intelligence services are very organized, and they can pull off things with incredible efficiency and quickness.
Yeah.
And so it's the military combined with, the intelligence combined with the military, and especially military intelligence,
yeah,
which are really pulling the strings behind a lot of things.
Yeah.
And organizations, by the way, like the National Reconnaissance Office, the NRO, actually have even more power in many ways than the CIA. And so there's all these layers and levels that people have no idea even exist.
It's incredible. When you, it's like an onion. The more you kind of peel back, the kind of more there is to. Oh my! It just keeps going and going.
Exactly.
I mean, like there's a theory that Catherine Austin Fitz plays with it that says that our whole economy is floated by the illicit drug trade.
Sure. Yeah.
And
Rupert's big into that too.
Yeah. And I just. You know, I just have to sort of agree with it, because a lot of times I just think that I look at the stock market and I just go, what's that worth? I mean, it can't be worth all that, you know.
But a normal person is not going to see that. You really got to lay out a good argument, which she does. Catherine Austin Fitz, who is, by the way, the former number two person under Housing and Urban Development. She was the assistant secretary under Bush. And she is doing great work. She's another one who's really shifting the whole paradigm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else is interesting is that these days there seems to be a sort of, I'm not sure if it's a co-option or it's interesting nonetheless of this sort of a conspiratorial cultural movement. The Da Vinci Code, there's this new movie, National Treasure. Did you see any commercials for this?
I haven't seen that, no.
I just saw the commercial for it and I'm just like, oh my. Oh my gosh, it's just like, you know, Nick Cage looking at a dollar bill intently and saying, there's a treasure map on the dollar bill. I mean, it's just, I'd like to maybe address that. I mean, this whole sort of, sometimes it seems like they're trying to play to it in a way.
Yes.
When I see that Columbia, beginning of movies, you see the Columbia thing and that woman holding the flaming, you know, the Statue of Liberty.
Right.
And that's an old symbolic meaning of something that's from the occult.
The occult world. Yeah, a lot of those symbols, like the back of our dollar bill.
Yeah, where all this stuff comes from is all these occult images and symbols that and then it reminds me of that quote of this one of the CIA guys is, I play the media like a mighty Wurlitzer.
Exactly.
And I watch movies now, and I just can't get past the I read it on multiple texts as I'm watching it. And I'm like, wow, they're trying to, you know, send. There's all these images and stuff. Like, I don't know, especially with Schwarzenegger movies, if you know.
Right.
But I don't know. It seems like they're pushing the into like a less covert, more overt way. They're trying to say, look, you know,
they're feeding information. The intelligence people in the intelligence community are actually feeding information to authors, key authors like Spielberg gets fed stuff. I know that.
Yeah.
And also to movie makers.
Huh.
So and then, but now they only feed them what they want to feed them, and so the question is then where are they trying to direct these people? And the thing that's another key thing that I haven't mentioned is that among the group that I call the power elite, there are factions that are fighting against each other for power.
Right.
And you'll never see or hear about any of this, but if you start exploring it deeply, you will definitely find there, you know, the neocons being one faction that now has a name.
Right.
They're actually a part of what the researchers call the Armageddonists.
Right.
These are the people who actually believe that, you know, there's going to be a second coming, somewhat like it written in Revelations, and that therefore we don't need to care about the Earth because there's going to be a whole Armageddon anyway.
Right. That's, for me, the biggest reason to vote for Kerry, which is really the only reason I can come up with.
Yes, because Kerry, I don't believe, is part of the Armageddon.
Yeah, and that those guys scare me. And when I was visiting a friend of mine up in Seattle the other weekend, and he was just saying, it's not about, you know, he was down with all this, everything we've talked about tonight. Mm-hmm. He says, I still have to vote for Kerry because... He's at least has some kind of handle on reality,
exactly, yeah.
You know?
Right.
Well, I was like, well, you get a point, I guess.
Right.
But I can't do it. I can't vote for Kerry.
Oh, really?
I can't do it.
Well, I support people in voting for whoever they think it's best to vote for, you know?
Because I
don't tell anybody who to vote for.
Yeah, I only say vote your hope, don't vote your fear.
There you go. Thank you. That's a great one.
Yeah.
I love it. Vote your hope, don't vote your fear.
Yep.
That's a great one, Al.
Yeah. But that's why everyone votes their fear, because they say, I can't have, if you say the lesser of two evils, it's your fear. That's your
right.
fears, you know. Going.
Right. So, listen, I'm going to need to go in about
okay.
5 minutes.
All right.
I just wanted to mention that, you know, besides the want to know that info site, I'm also very much into what I call creating the new paradigm, building a better world.
Great.
And, you know, I have a couple websites.
Let's hear them.
That are about that. The main one that I would recommend to people is called Moment of Love. momentoflove.org.
Okay.
And what that is about, and we've talked about this earlier, is it's realizing that every person in this world has a heart. This is how the website starts. And every heart has a place within that wants to love and be loved.
Right.
Even the most evil person, you know, I don't know if you've heard about Hitler, the movie about Hitler from a secretary who said he was a wonderful man. You know,
right.
That's what she really thought. And when we focus on that level, and really try to move from that place as we're moving in our lives, that's where we really create transformation.
Yep.
And so the momentoflove.org, and I also have another website called weboflove.org, which are about opening up our awareness. And I know love is sort of a buzzword that turns a lot of people off.
Right.
And yet I honestly believe if you don't look at love as that mushy whatever, but it's just about a deep connecting.
Right.
That we can have with everyone around us once we really open to it, that's where we can create some real big transformation.
I totally
don't go
agree.
Into that too heavy on wanttoknow.info because most people have a tough time with that, and
right.
that's not the purpose of wanttoknow.info. We go into it just a little bit.
That was part of what Dan Hopsicker was making fun of you about.
Yes, he was poking fun at how can somebody who's into love be doing this stuff? He's got to be a mole. Right. So
yeah.
So I am very optimistic. I'm actually in contact with some people who are pretty high up. I'm in contact with a number of colonels in the military and who worked in military intelligence. I'm in contact with former high ups in the FBI, CIA, who feed me information, and I also give them information. And now, not all of these people are optimistic. I will have to tell you that.
Right.
But, knowing everything that I know, I am actually very optimistic and. Encourage people to, just what you're saying, you know, don't move out of fear.
Right.
Move out of the place where you know that we can turn this whole thing around.
Right. And don't, and share the information, but don't share it to scare people. Yeah, or to make them wrong. Or,
yeah,
you know,
there you go, right.
But to share it out of love and hope of saying, hey,
exactly.
if we can grasp the truth, then we're that close, that step closer to, you know, a world that we can all, you know, love.
Exactly,
you know,
yep.
Be happy
exactly.
with.
One thing I'll just plug on the website, one of the things that it's also been very successful, for each of the major cover-ups, we've come up with what we call a suggested email. Mm-hmm. So we try in about one page or less to give some key facts that, again, we give the links or we give ways to verify each key fact to show people that something big is going on that
right.
we need to do something about.
Yeah.
So people can go to the website, and there's a general suggested email as well, one for each of the cover-ups and a general one. You can go to the website, click on suggested email, just copy the whole thing, paste it then into your email service provider, and send it out to people.
Yep.
So that this is a great way of spreading the news of what's really going on, so that we can then build a critical mass.
Yep.
And this is one of the purposes of the website. Build a critical mass of people that will force the media. if they don't want to lose face, to start reporting this stuff. So this is just one method that we really can create some big shifts and invite people to join in that.
Yeah. Well, this media is reporting it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's awesome that we're sitting here on the radio doing this.
Yeah.
And there are a number of stations that are talking, increasing number of stations that are talking about
it. I was glad to hear about that Denver paper or Boulder or whatever. That was neat.
Yeah, yeah, and believe me, there's a number of other stuff. Like I said, this Eminem video.
I gotta turn that on. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you gotta watch that. It's full of anger. I think it's unfortunate that there's so much anger. But hey,
it's Eminem.
It's Eminem. So that's what you're gonna get, right. And that's what a lot of people respond to.
Yeah, and he's got so many young kids.
Yep.
Who are going to go into the military after that, you know, I mean,
yep.
I mean,
so,
that listen
so he's
to
he's absolutely helping to build that critical mass.
Yeah, definitely.
So important.
That's great. Well,
Al,
thanks a lot, Fred.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Yeah, yeah, I appreciate it. And we should have you back in a little while again.
Sure, that'd be great.
Okay, good. Thanks a lot.
All right, you take care and wish you and all our listeners the very best.
All right, aloha.
All right, aloha.
That was that there, Fred Burks. And I'm going to do a little experiment right now. We're going to try to play this song that I found on the internet. I want to know that it'll. I want to know if it'll play. Let me see. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. Anyway, that was my friend Fred. He's a great guy. I don't think he's a mole. No, it didn't work. Okay. I think you can trust him. And he's actually only told you just the smallest amount of information that he has on his sites. I mean, his sites are really impressive. And I suggest you check him out. So we're going to play this Dangerous Terrorist is the song. Watch out. Watch out for him. He's dangerous.
Summer from a slot machine. Just get what you want to if you want, as you can get anything. I know we've come a long way, we're changing day to day. But tell me, where do the children play? Fresh green grass for your lorry loads, pumping petrol gas, and you make them long and you make them tough, but they just go on and on, and it seems that you can't get off. Oh, I know we've come a long way, changing day to day, but tell me, where do the children play? Thank you.
sky. Scrapers fill the air. But will you keep on building higher till there's no more room up there? Will you make us laugh? Will you make us cry? Will you tell us when to live? Will you tell us when to die? We're changing day to day. But tell me, where do the children play?
Oops. Oh, yeah. Anyway, I'm still trying to figure out this here computer here. So that was the Very Dangerous, what's his name? Yusuf Islam. And we're going to maybe try, no, that's, oh, you can hear the rain in the background. It's raining right now. Isn't that nice? How about this song? Nope, that didn't go. How about... So, yeah, I actually put some new songs on here, but I didn't do it right. So now there's some are on here that are good, and some are right. Here, this one's funny, and it's timely, although it's 4 years old, but it's kind of cute.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're here with Texas Governor George W. Bush, Republican candidate for president. We've got time for a few more callers, so let's start right in. Hello, you're on the air.
My name's Kimberly Smith. I'm from Athens, Georgia. My question for Mr. Bush is plain and simple. When are y'all going to stop beating around the bush on the drug issue? Did you ever use illegal drugs or not?
You know, I'm getting kind of tired of the same old game. You know what happens. Somebody floats a rumor, and that causes you to ask a question. You just fell for the trap, and I refused to play. When I was young and irresponsible, I behaved young and irresponsibly, and that's all I'm going to say on the issue.
Please, all I want is a simple yes or no answer, and you haven't given me that yet. My question was, have you ever used illegal drugs in your entire life? Yes or no?
As I understand it, if I were to join the FBI, the current form asks the question, did somebody use drugs within the last 7 years? I'll be glad to answer that question, and the answer's no. When I was young and irresponsible, I behaved young and irresponsibly, and that's all I'm going to say on the issue.
Okay, next caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm Bob Peterson from Laconia, New Hampshire. Governor Bush, could you please come clean on the embezzlement issue? Have you or have you ever not embezzled funds when you were in the business sector?
Let me just say that when I was a young and irresponsible businessman, I may have behaved young and irresponsibly. If you ask me whether or not I embezzled funds during the last 10 or maybe 8 months when I was a businessman, I'll be glad to answer that question, and the answer is no. And that's all I'm going to say on the issue.
Okay, next caller, you're on the air.
Hi, my name's Tony Ragusa. I'm from Long Island, New York. I don't know if this is too personal a question, but I heard some rumors that you used to beat your wife with a branding iron. Is this true?
Well, Tony, quite frankly, I'm not going to dignify that question with a straight answer. Let me just say, when I was a young and irresponsible husband, I behaved young and irresponsibly. If you ask me whether or not I beat my wife with that old branding iron within the past 2 weeks or so, well, I'll be glad to answer that question, and the answer to that question is no. Should I become president, my pledge to the American people is that I'll uphold the dignity and honor of the office to which I've been elected, and I think I've been saying that all along.
Okay, we've got time for one more call. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, Mr. Bush? My name's Gilbert Wilson. I don't know where I heard this, man, but I think I heard, like, you were, like, a suspect in an unsolved chainsaw murder back in, like, late 70s in Texas. Like, is this true or what? Did you, like, really kill someone with a chainsaw?
I don't know why everyone's got to keep digging up my past. I don't think the American people want to waste a lot of time on something a man may or may not have done when he was young and irresponsible. If you ask me, did you kill anyone with a chainsaw in the past 22 years, I'll be glad to answer. The answer is no. I don't feel the need to elaborate. Got to be a statute of limitation on a man's past.
Gilbert, did that answer your question for Mr. Bush?
No way, dude. You, like, totally didn't answer my question. Dude, do you, like, just avoid any question you don't want to answer?
Absolutely. Obfuscation. Just like Reagan, gonna be the next president. You don't gotta live in Egypt to appreciate the beauty of denial. I speak Spanish. Buenos dias. Buenas noches. Whatever.
Looks like we're out of time. This has been Barry Thomas at KCFA Switchboard. Good night.
1, 2, 3 Microphone testing. 1, 2, 3 In the place to be. What's up, everybody? My name is Tai Mai Siu, and I am going to rapping for you today, just a little freestyle. But first and foremost, I like to thanking Woody Style Beyond Compare for getting my belt back and helping me promoting my skills. And in return, I will teach them how to make $1 million. Wow, and when you hit, you'll be like, wow, I don't believe. So simple. No skill involved at all. I could afford that myself. And you say, what? What the hell? I don't believe. Check it out, though. I was cruising down the street in my Impala. They asked me who the girl in the car. That's just my baby mama. Don't give a fuck about the hoe. I sucked that bitch in the jaw. I got some eyes and put the nails off her toes. Cause I'm too sick. Give me the heebie-jeebies. Breaking all the houses. Steal all your TVs. Kick your daddy in the pee-pee. Yeah, as you can see, see. I run around the corner and laughing. Hee-hee, hee-hee. Your mama in a headlock. Or a fool Nelson. Then I let your neighbor watch Chinese food and grills. And then I rape his mama cause I'm too sick. Singing Ishan Shaka Dundo shit. It's back in my Impala. Sick ass 82. Tell my friend Young. His first name is Ed Food. A lot of people don't like me, but I don't give a fuck. Cause I stole your TV and it's in my fucking bunker. I wish today was Sunday so I can get a cheeseburger for 39 cents at McDonald's, baby. And I wish it was Wednesday so I can get a hamburger for 29 cents at McDonald's, baby.
We'll fight alone, just as we used to do in those days.
All right. Fight just like we used to do.
I was talking to this girl. She say she wanna kick it. I look her in her eyeball. I say, you fucking up bullshit. Then she look at me and she say, come you. I say, no way, I have to go to school. I'm a happy Chinese boy. I have a lot to talk about. Try to argue me. I say, get the hell out of here. I like the old school. I like a new school. My girlfriend like my name. Me come tie my suit. I make it take a look. I like to eat you. What the hell are those Jamaicans say? Book, book, book. I take my skills serious. And no, it's not for fun. I like to eat your fun. And how tall you want ton? Tiny student. Go to school early in the morning. And I like to play kickball inside the schoolyard. Chinese students do homework and they study real hard. I walk by this good-looking girl. They say you smell like mothballs.
Wow. You do fight well.
Yeah, whatever, dude. Just give me a fucking mothball light.
I wish today was Sunday so I could get a cheeseburger for 39 cents at McDonald's, baby. And I wish it was Wednesday so I can get a hamburger for 29 cents at McDonald's, baby. All my real life Chinese people, fold your head up, fold your head up, fold your head up. All my real life Chinese people, fold your head up, fold your head up, fold your head up. Fold your head up, fold those head up, fold the head up. Chinese people, Japanese people, every people, fold your head up. We warrior, I am a warrior. We blast on them. I got four folds so your kids don't going. I am real hard. Peace outside. Damn you. You know what I'm saying?
Hi. Yeah, that was Group X with Tie My Shoe. And good gosh, that's a great little tune. I always laugh when I listen to that song. And I hope you did too. And didn't take it very seriously. Because it's just a song. And so next coming up, we've got local talent and a very old friend of mine, a Mr. Johnny Love.
Meet me in the morning if you want to get your honey.
Megaton.
Hi. That was a guy from the Bahamas. His name is Joseph Spence. He's great. I really love him. Anyway, I'm having fun DJing for you guys, and I'm going to play a little bit more till the 8 o'clock moment, and then I'm going to move on with my life because I've got other things I got to do. I just wanted to share with you some tunes, a little bit of information about 9/11. We talked about all that stuff. It's, yeah. I mean, for me, it's kind of a litmus test, I guess might be the phrase. I mean, if you can grok the possibility, let alone the actuality, that our government perpetuated it, did it, planned it, executed it, all that stuff on that day, and likewise the anthrax attacks, which is kind of obvious since it came from our own, you know, stuff, and Oklahoma City, and I think Mossad did the coal bombing, but I'm going to start about to start a book, reading a book about Mossad, the Israeli intelligence. I'm kind of looking forward to reading that. I'm probably going to talk a little bit about that. But anyway, right now we're going to play a song by a guy who calls himself Sandman. And this is a song called Love's Hangover Sale. And I like it. And I hope you do too.
If I was a singer-songwriter, I'd write a song that went like this. And if I was a bull rider, I'd ride a bull that could not miss. And if I was a street fighter, I would use my fists. And if I was a coal miner, I'd try to kiss your ruby lips. Love hangs over, love's hangover sale. Love hangs over, love's hangover sale. And if I was a stargazer, I'd gaze into your pretty eyes. And if I was a trailblazer, I'd blaze across your starry skies. And if I was a laser, I would lay me down and cry. And if I was the Lone Ranger, I guess I'd have an alibi. Love hangs over, love's hangover sail. Love hangs over, love's hangover sail. Everything goes for a dollar, $25, you can have it all. Everything goes for a dollar, $25, you can have it all. And if I was a millionaire, I'd put a flower in your hair. And if I could choose a career, I guess I'd be an auctioneer. And if I'd stayed back in Wyoming, we both might feel much better. And if I could stop my roaming and rambling and gambling, we still might be together. Love hangs over, love's hangover sale. Everything goes for a dollar, for $25 you can have it all. Everything goes for a dollar, for $25 you can have it all. Everything must go, everything must go, radio must go,
Waterbed must go, bread machine must go, trampoline must go, Studebaker, popcorn makers, elves hang over sails, love hangs over, elves hang over sails. Arrogance must go, jealousy must go, bitterness, self-deprecation, all shame, all blame, all guilt must wilt, love's hangover sails. Everything goes for a dollar, $25 you can have it all. Everything goes for a dollar. For $25 you can have it all. Haul it away, boys.
23, 23, 24, 24, 25. Sold to the girl in the red dress.
Love hangs over. Love sang over sails. Love hangs over. Love sang over sails. Love hangs over. Love sang over sand. Love hangs over. Love sang over
camel toe. Girl, I gotta hurt. Think some
is a decorator to be a Christian, friend to be a Christian. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
guys want to come to my show tonight? Yeah, dude, we're playing downtown. Totally, we're headlining. Yeah, I'm bringing my P-Bass for Johnny. Dude, come on down, I'll put you on the guest list. Yeah, bring some chicks. We're gonna rip it up tonight.
Hi. Well, I'm about to check out of here, but I thought I'd take the opportunity, since this is my last chance to talk with y'all before this fantabulous election happens, to make some suggestions. I don't know. They're what I'm going to do. I am going to vote for Donna Frye. I think you should, too, if you're listening to me, but I'm not telling you to. The reason why I think you should, it seems to me, out of our three choices, she has the most integrity, the most actually wanting to serve people that I get from anybody else. I also would suggest that you, what number is that? It's the three strikes one. What is it? Oh, yeah. Proposition 66. Yes on that. Of course, you know, if we could just get rid of the drug laws completely, just boot it out of there completely, we wouldn't have to deal with it. I mean, then all the people who... I mean, because that's what it is. It's like letting the drug people who do drugs, you know, not live straight. I mean, you know, whatever. Write in Donna Frye. Okay, if you don't do anything else, even if you have to vote for Bush or you vote, you know, whatever... Write in Donna Frye. Do us in the city of San Diego a big favor by writing in Donna Frye. And then, if she sucks, well, oh, and by the way, vote no on it. I'm sorry. I'm not going to tell you how to vote. You vote the way you want to vote, okay? I am going to vote no on F, okay? I'm going to go there. So if you're going to vote yes on F, just know that your vote is canceled out because of me, okay? Now, if you wanted to get powerful... And you wanted to vote with me in that, then we'd be twice as powerful. You see how I'm thinking here? excuse me, it's nighttime, so my cough's coming back. It's like a vampire gets active in the evening. There's so many things and people to vote for. I can't even. I mean. It's overwhelming. I think I might end up re-electing Filner. I don't know. I met him one time. He seemed kind of smarmy. Anyway, those are the big ones for me. I mean, you know, the three strikes law seems like a major one. Oh, and that, I forget the number on it. The, stem cell thing. Look. I'm in favor of stem cell research. I think it's a groovy thing. Why does California taxpayers have to pay for it? I don't know. And I don't really want them to. So I'm voting no for the stem cell. Forget you on your little stem cell. You can go, if you want to go do your stem cell, great. Go ahead. Do it. Study it. Take all those little baby embryos. I don't care. It's not, they're not human beings anyway, okay? But I don't want to pay for it. And I don't want you paying for it, okay? So let's just leave it at that and try to move on, okay? We could talk all we want about all that stuff, but what it really comes down to is stem cell research, good. Me paying for it, bad, okay? Straight up, I don't, you know, and... You know, I love Christopher Reeve, okay? He's cool. Christopher Reeve is awesome. But too bad, okay? So, anyway, write in Donna Frye. And that's going to do it for, oh, and don't vote for Bush. I mean, even if you have to vote for Kerry, I'm going to straight out and tell y'all how to vote on that one. And it's really anybody but Bush. I mean, I'm not going to vote for Kerry, straight up. Not doing it. And I don't suggest you do it either, because he doesn't need our vote. We're in California. So you can make a more valuable protest vote by the third party of your choice. And maybe we can make a move to get out of the Electoral College and all that other good stuff. Anyway, that's all. That's me going on my politics stuff. It's kind of boring. I think fucking politics is boring as hell. I think what's more interesting is how power is structured to keep people down. Straight up. And so I'm hip to the scheme. And I hope you are too. I trust you are. Some DJs out there will assume your stupidity. I hope I don't ever do that. And if you ever hear me assuming that you're stupid, call me on it, because I think it's bogus. All right, I'm going to take you out with another. You know, I'm so nepotistic. It's true. If you know me, you're going to get radio play on my show. It's sad but true. But you know what? I bet. Well, I don't know if everyone does it, but. Here's another friend of mine. I'm sorry, I'm coughing again. All right. You guys, take it easy. Take care of each other. And peace out. Oh. Dang it. Hold on a second. Dang it. That's not good. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. That's... Oh, you booger. Okay, well, we don't have that song, and so we're just going to have to do something else. How about this song?
One, two, three, four. Okay, well, we'll just start. Ready? One, two, three, go.
Mama, don't smoke that much dope. Don't you worry about me.
Bo Donna Fry.
Mama, don't smoke that much dope. Don't you worry about me.
You think Donna Fry smoke pot?
I only get high about twice a day. It helps to keep my blues away. Chris said something bad. Jesus Christ.